next presentation is going to focus on the importance of reflecting consumer preference and practice into a point-of-use marketing or promotion strategy, and to review a simple tool for conducting such an assessment. All the references to the tools and reports I make are found on the APHA website, the upload, and I also do have electronic copies for any eager beavers. So, again, when we talk about the importance of reflecting consumer or community perspective in a marketing strategy, as the other presentations and discussion have highlighted, really need to consider supply and demand, or it was laid out, supply, enabling environment, and behavior change, and that the kind of research that I'm going to highlight really helps to shape product as well as promotion strategies. So this presentation and somewhat the one to follow will really look at how can we promote the consistent and correct practice of water treatment and safe storage. So the focus here is on behaviors, not just coverage, but rather use. To acknowledge here, this activity was funded by USAID in collaboration with UNICEF Nepal, and to acknowledge our co-authors and our research subcontractor solutions consultants in Nepal. So in order to see the consistent and correct practice of household water treatment, we really need to see, first of all, efficacious products, so things that work in the lab. We need to have them available, so there has to be some sort of market feasibility beyond giveaways for people, for the poorest of the poor, to be able to acquire a method or methods to treat their water. They need to be acceptable to the household. They need to be popular and meet their needs. And they also need to be effective in the household. So I am making that difference between efficacious and effective, is what do those pesky people do when they actually get them into their real environments? Are they able to treat their water? Do they work? So again, what we'll do here is to really look at a simple consumer or formative research methodology that was used to assess preference and practice. The methodology was developed as part of our UNICEF collaboration in Nepal, where USAID had already funded a point-of-use water treatment promotion activity to complement the PPP, or Public-Private Partnership for Hand Washing with Soap, a PPP activity already underway. So again, while this is focusing on point of use, the assumption was there was already an active hand washing promotion strategy going on. So our objectives were, as I was saying, is to collect and incorporate data into this point of use focused hygiene marketing strategy. Our objectives are listed here. Simply to understand consumer or community knowledge and perception of diarrheal risk as it related to water, to understand the characteristics from the community point of view of what clean and dirty water are, to look at current purification or treatment practices, to explore overall the concept and value of water treatment or water disinfection, to really determine, again, from consumer point of view, what the perceived benefits, the costs, not only monetary but time costs, the challenges, and the perceived effectiveness of the various treatment techniques. To assess the value or willingness to pay for various treatment methods. To invite modifications to make the behavior easier. So we were actually asking people to road test the products and to make modifications, which we were then documenting and measuring to see were they still effective. And lastly, to measure actual effectiveness, which I will add is rarely coupled with formative research around perception, and you'll see later the importance of doing the two at the same time. So again, for timing, we have to race through some of these things in our methodology, but what we did was examine categories of products, not specific products. So we looked at filtration, specifically the colloidal silver candle filter, which I'll show you pictured in a minute. Chlorination, which was in fact the WaterGuard product produced by PSI, but it was blinded, literally. It just had a generic how-to-use label on it. So chlorination, boiling, solar disinfection, and the biosand filter. And Eric Mintz gave you a preview of what, or just a brief overview of some of those methods. Again, just for the short time, we can't go through it, but there are resources that really give you the how-to, a fact sheet on each of the methods. So you'll see pictured first on the left, SODIS, which is solar disinfection, which can be done in any kind of PET plastic bottle. Those water bottles that you're seeing are the most typical bottles used for solar disinfection. Chlorination, and we do have the blinded water guard pictured, and there's a few models up here. And then on the right, the CS, the colloidal silver filter, which if you look inside that double bucket system, there's a clay filter, candle filter, that's produced locally and literally painted with colloidal silver. So our methodology, again running through it, is that women's household were asked to try a method, to discuss the use of that treatment method over time, to compare that method with a really quick trial, a one-time trial of the other four methods, there were five in total, and to modify the use while we were testing that effectiveness all at the same time. Here you see a bit more of the methodology, which again, for time reasons, I can only jog through, but it was a 30-day trial with three visits. So a household agreed to participate. They got their method on day one, and they completed a basic survey on use, and we made sure they understood how to use their method. We came back at day three, and we problem-solved. How was it? What did you like? What didn't you like? And we came back on day 30, testing for effectiveness at each of those points as well. It was women with children under five from four study districts listed here. Doing any kind of research in Nepal is a challenge because there is a very active civil war going on. There were a total of 80 participants in the four districts. And just again, quickly, our qualitative study really confirmed a larger baseline survey findings about the characteristics of water that was considered fit to drink. And we were very careful, and I do offer that phrasing to you. We didn't want to enter the bias of safe water, healthy water, but what makes water fit to drink? And most of all, it's sanglopani. Water has to be crystal clear, free of turbidity, free of visible dirt or sand. To a lesser extent, has to be free of bugs, insects, and other stuff that's in the environment, and the absence of an objectionable smell. There actually are smells that were preferred. They're good smells, but absence of an objectionable smell that everyone could characterize, and there are always local words for that smell. Cool water was also highly desirable, although it wasn't the deal breaker. It wasn't necessarily tied to water that was fit to drink. It was a preference. And that comes in later when you look at the different options of water. So again, as far as perceptions, people got the concept of disinfection when it was explained. Many people did something to make their water already more fit to drink, and in the Nepal context, it was using orsari to literally filter the stuff out of your water. But no one expressed any sense of microbial or bacterial contamination. So that when researchers or our field team explained the concept of microbial, everyone got it, but it wasn't there. They valued that benefit, and they repeated it back to us. So in the second and third visit, the benefits of the method that they kept on giving was, oh, this makes it germ-free. Well, so it was a new term and a term that caught on fairly quickly. There was a very low perception of risk of your water. People didn't think it was unfit, but they were willing to try, and a lot of it was it wasn't foreigners, but the nice city people were coming and asking you, would you try something, and people were willing to do it. But again, just very quickly, few felt their water was contaminated, and it was all around turbidity and those physical attributes that they would attribute unfit water. What we did then, and a list I offer to all of you if you do go out and try this, we asked people to really evaluate the different methods along these different characteristics. So taste, smell, appearance, color, temperature. These are the things that no matter what the method is, that seemed, and they do seem across cultures, to be the attributes that are important to people. We asked them about effort, convenience, maintenance. Did they think it was effective? Did they trust that putting a bottle in the sun for 2 days, a bottle in the clouds for 2 days would actually make your water better? Did the family think it was acceptable, and did they think it was a good use of your family time and money? And were they willing there to pay? So, again, we're racing through some of this for time, but there was little consistent use of the methods. People kept with the methods for 30 days, but they also drank lots of other water. And we'll get to that in the conclusions, but it wasn't used by the whole family, and it wasn't used outside of the home. While people were invited to make alterations, very few of them actually did much. And when they did, they mucked around with the maintenance and cleaning practice. So, based on the characteristics, people related overall what they liked best was the CS filter, and chlorination was the second. Sodas and boiling were acceptable, but they were lesser options, mostly because they were associated as things that poor people do. And even though these were poor people giving us that, they didn't want to be associated with that method. Sodas and boiling also are heat related. You have to heat the water in the process, and if you remember, cool was a desired attribute, so it became a lesser desired option just for that reason. The study really underscored the importance of receptacles, something that's often too ignored in some of our point of use promotion and certainly the point of use studies. You need to have an extra container around to separate your drinking and cooking water. Otherwise, the burden, you have to actually treat all of your water, which is a tremendous expense and time. So the importance of receptacles, having ones to separate out the water, and having a portable kind of container to carry water outside of the home for work, for field work, if you want to have consistent use, which is important. And then lastly on that, just the handiness of having a container or on the filter having a spigot, which meant that it was handy for you, and it was handy that kids could access water without either dipping their hands in and dirtying the thing or without bugging you. And you know, women are very busy, and that was a huge asset. I'm going to jog through this one, but waiting time was also important. These methods take different amounts of time to do. So does 6 hours to 2 days. The filter, hours, depending on the flow rate. And so the time it took, you really had to prepare and have to have water on hand. And so that was a big consideration for people, particularly in a country like Nepal, which ironically, quality is terrible, but access is relatively good. Most people can get some water within about 15 minutes. Effectiveness, and Mary, I'll race here, but I need about 2 minutes, is, so as far as effectiveness, households were overall successful in the various techniques to disinfect water, but when I show you this data, particularly at the CS filter, you're going to see the importance of really looking to see what can a household do. Forget the particulars here, but the red would be your pre-measure, and the gray your after-measure, and then each of the columns has to do with the various methods. And at first visit, water was between 55 to 70% of all water was contaminated. We just used a presence-absence test, which means it was bad or not. It either had fecal or E. coli contamination or not. We didn't get counts to look how badly it was. The gray is after 3 days. So everyone could manage the methods, except look at those filters. Water was actually more contaminated. They were drinking dirtier water after using the filters, and we had a tremendous ethical question here to even let people go on when they're doing something worse. We don't know why. It was most probably secondary contamination, means they did a good job cleaning it. They got their hands in those buckets all the time to clean. They wanted to keep on cleaning that nice new bucket. We think it was that. It's also two buckets. You need to punch to get the water to put in that candle filter. And the punch was a very valued possession, so it wasn't available. A lot of times people just mashed something, and I think we also had contaminated water just dripping through. So we don't know the reasons, but we do know that those CS filters were really popular and, in fact, absolutely ineffective. So, in conclusion, we see here, and what I offer to you, the challenge of marketing, point of use, treatment, and safe water storage, that in fact, it's not a simple or a single behavior. And so what we've done here is really break down, you know, the behaviors, many behaviors. People first have to separate out their drinking and cooking water. That's one behavior. They need to choose and obtain a method. They need to actually disinfect. They need to protect or maintain that water. And then they need to use it always, consistently, at home, at work, and school. And so there's transport problems. And each one of these needs attention. In a marketing strategy, we need to look at the barriers and costs of each of these behaviors in our strategy. So I hope that this detail is a useful look at point of use when you try and promote. Key considerations highlighted here. Again, no methods accepted if it doesn't address turbidity. That's what matters most to people, and from our experience, we can say across many cultures. Turbid water here, we have a perfect example, and it's not uncommon to see what chocolate water, that's what most people would call it. Temperature is a factor, time is a factor, The availability of a spare receptacle is absolutely key. For solar, while it's accepted, those PET bottles are rarely available easily in rural areas where it's most needed. And then the effectiveness and cost of that CS filter, people liked it, but it was expensive and not altogether effective. On the bright side, people were willing to try a new technique. They could grasp the mechanics and concepts. They maintained the behavior, though it wasn't exclusive use. And that while the products didn't meet all of the characteristics they need, none of the negative attributes really outweighed the benefits. People wanted better water, they got it, and they would do something about it. Thank you. I'll stop now. Thank you for the race through it all. I want to give you a good highlight of a lot of information. Very similar. As far as the contamination, very similar. Not worse, but not better. It was just a methodological issue that we did improve. We now do have this tool that's available for more general use through the WHO network. It's on their site. It's on our site. And we now have right in the protocol to look at what's happening. It was just one of the, because of the war, we couldn't get out to our interviewers. They were sort of out there and we couldn't get to them. They didn't. And again, it was just, communication is so bad in that war situation. For instance, those filters are the exact same things that are used for bombs, that the Maoists use for their bombs. It's the same container. So we had tremendous problems of our interviewers getting detained by both the security forces and the Maoists just for moving, for mobilizing. Please. It was just very simply the catchment area. It wasn't a salient topic, but it was a public health need, meaning water is very dirty there. It's very contaminated. Right. And USAID and UNICEF had targeted to add water treatment to the hand washing piece that was already done. So it was a matter of having to build, and it's often a question of having to build perception of need, especially when it's dry season and there's not this muddy water. It's often not the highest priority of households. They don't consider it their highest need. I don't know if you addressed that at all, but I'm sure you could. It's an issue. Yeah. And to learn how to make it more salient. I mean, for instance, that offering to deal with turbidity. And if you deal with turbidity, they will come. Just think about how best to promote and how to shape your product.
I'm just
going to
take one more. You could just introduce yourself. I'm Sarah from the Solar Method. I'm dealing with turbidity.
It's an issue. It's a problem. And at some point, you can't use sodas if water is too turbid. Even when you filter, jump in here at any point, but even when you do filter and remove the visible turbidity, in cases where it's excessively turbid, there's just enough particulate matter that literally the sun can't filter in to do its job. Often people, they can very easily, we found, select under different contexts, different methods, and they know when it's really chocolate time, you have to use something else.